Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for coming in. This is part three. I hope you are enjoying the podcast, and I hope that you have learned a lot of things about different things in homelessness. And also, don't forget to follow us on our social media. Our link tree is down below. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, right? We have Twitter, we have YouTube, and we would love to see you on those platforms. It might not be all if you don't have it, but if you have some, that would be greatly appreciated. And we do giveaways all the time that you can be a part of. Thank you and goodbye.
So you covered a lot of stuff in the beginning too about your, now as an adult, you end up being homeless. First, how's it insecure, you know? And you said different levels. There's a lot of things we unpacked. You said your son has a disability.
Yes.
And you also said that, I forgot it, but I remember what you said. I'll talk about that later. But, oh, yes, the different categories that they have and the categories that you technically fit in, which is surprising because your son has a disability. I would think that you'll get help because he has a disability.
Well, the issue was he has, because he's on the autism spectrum, it's not a physical disability. And there's often sort of discrimination based on that, right? And even within, you know, he's on the autism spectrum, but he is what they call high functioning, which basically means that if you don't know anything about autism and you saw him, you wouldn't know that he had any issue, right? And he doesn't cause problems. He's not, you know, he doesn't have Tourette's where he just starts yelling at people, right? He's just a good kid. You'd see a kid, you might think he's a little shy, but not within the, you know, not outside of, yeah. So that often is a problem. And I will say, even that is a problem for a lot of these agencies that deal with these issues, where they deal with the problem people.
Right.
And if you are not acting out in a destructive way, either to yourself or to others, a lot of times you don't get the help that you need because people think, oh, you're okay, right? And so if you're not, like, you know, attacking people physically, or if you're not, like, getting in trouble with the criminal justice system, you know, you're just sort of struggling within yourself, but you're not, it's not manifesting in a way that these institutions see. A lot of times you don't get the attention that you need, you know.
That's true. And you know
for me, that has happened in my life a lot, where, you know, I was raised that, first of all, you don't put your stuff on other people. You shouldn't put your problems on other people. That's being inconsiderate. I was raised that you don't, especially in the Black community, is you don't want to embarrass your family or the Black community at large. So you don't want to do things that is embarrassing, or that makes people look down on you. So, like, even today, when I go to HRA, I get dressed up to go to HRA.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because my mom used to have this thing where she was like, you know, Michael, we're poor, but we don't have to look poor. We don't have to act poor, whatever that means, right? Like, you know, and so I get washed and dressed to make sure I look presentable, right? Because there's all this internal stuff of, you don't want to embarrass your family. You don't want to embarrass, you don't want to make Black people look bad. You don't want to make your family look bad or whatever. But the downside to that is often people think you're okay.
That's the thing.
Right? If I showed up to HRA and I was sort of like, just got out of bed and I was unshaven, if I was sort of like disheveled or whatever, I might get more attention because they're like, oh my God, this guy's trouble. We need to like make sure he's okay. But then they see me and I might be wearing a shirt with a collar and they're like, oh, he's fine. We don't need to rush his case. He's fine. But yeah, definitely there are all of these categories, and I learned about here in New York City, it may be the same way in other cities as well, where we have this distinction between displaced and homeless. Right. Now, I didn't know anything about this before I got involved. And whether or not, first of all, you don't get to categorize yourself as either one of those. You get categorized by the agency.
Right.
And once you're categorized, you have to deal with totally different agencies with totally different bureaucratic structures. From what I've heard, different treatment. I've heard that people with that are displaced are treated better. For those who don't know, displaced is things like your house burnt down, your apartment burnt down. For me, the landlord, the building got foreclosed on. So there is some circumstance that you can no longer practically live in the residence.
Right.
And so you get displaced, flooding, storms, right?
Yeah, something out of your control, basically.
Something out of your control, right? Mm-hmm. And then homeless is like, you know, something it's supposed to be, it's more like your action, right?
Right.
Now, the truth is that these are often very overlapping things. They're, you know, mm-hmm. So there are many people who are categorized as homeless that they're homeless because of something that had nothing to do with them, right? So let's say you are you're living with a single parent or and one of your parents gets incarcerated and they were the ones paying the rent.
Right.
Well, you're considered homeless, not displaced.
Right.
Even though you didn't do anything to become homeless. Right. But yeah, there's a sort of thing of deserving. You know, one of the things that you find out when you're dealing with people in either poor policies around the poor or housing is there's this idea of who's deserving and who's not. And they're always trying to figure out, do you deserve to get these benefits or do you not? Now, the thing that irks me about this is policies that don't deal with the poor don't do this. Right. So remember when we had the COVID and they were handing out these business loans?
Right.
They just gave out money.
They did.
They didn't check to see how many employees you had or whether blah, right?
Any they putting that now though.
Yeah. Now they're like, right. And the reason is that we have this idea, many of us have this idea in the country that people who are poor are somehow undeserving. They did it to themselves.
Right.
And so they have to prove to me that they did. And you got to give all these documents that show whatever.
So much document.
Where if you get a business loan, they're like, oh, you know, if you file for bank, a business files for bankruptcy, nobody looks down on you. People file for bankruptcy all the time.
Yes, they do.
All
yes,
the time. They and they're just like, oh, yeah, I can't pay my bills or whatever. So, you know, there's all this idea of who deserves these policies. And the truth is, if you've ever paid taxes, like if you've ever gone to the bodega and bought a stick of gum and paid sales tax,
right,
then you deserve the government, the city, the state, the county
mm-hmm.
to take care of you when you need help. And you know, if you've paid into this system, that you deserve it and you don't have to keep proving your worth. But unfortunately, many of these policies are not like that. And so, you know, part of the reason why displaced families get treated better than homeless families is there's this perceived deservedness. Oh, well, you got burned out of your house, and so it's not your fault. You might have caused the fire. They don't
right.
know. Right? They don't know. But they are putting on that a level of it's not your fault that other people don't get. And it disturbs me. So, yeah.
I like the point that you brought up about the taxes because a lot of people in shelter are working people who pay taxes every
yes.
year. And
yes.
it comes out of their paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yes.
But yeah, when you need help, they don't want to give you help. And you pay,
yes.
you're paying for your spot.
Yes.
Literally.
And, you know, and what's worse than the fact that they don't want to give it to you is that it's the internalized sense that many of us have that, oh, I don't deserve this, right? Like
right.
it's bad enough when other people act like you don't deserve it, but the internalized mm-hmm. stuff. But yeah, man, if every time you go to the store and pay state taxes, if you've ever worked at a job and they took FICA out, if you know, we pay into this system.
We do.
This society, every day, even if you don't realize you do. When if you look at your light bill, there are taxes on your light bill, on your cable bill, on you. If you've ever functioned in this world, you have paid into this system.
If you play the lotto and win, you're gonna
Yes, you're going to pay
get
tax. And the idea is, you know, this goes, I was trained as a political scientist, so this is my social science part, right? The
Okay.
idea is, it's called a social contract. And it is, I'm going to do my part and you're going to do your part, right? And so when you're in a society, you have a social contract. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to pay taxes with the understanding that if my house is on fire, the fire department will come and put the fire out.
Right.
Or if somebody breaks into my home, the cops will come. And that's the transaction that we're doing every day, right?
Everything.
If I lose my house, if I need EBT, if you know my kids need to be educated, I'm going to send them to school and you're going to pay the teachers, and right? And the wealthy in this country have done a really good job at convincing the poor that you don't pay into the system and
Right.
that we are doing you a favor by
Right.
sending the cops to your house or the fire department or the teachers. Like, we're doing you, this is out of like the kindness of our heart.
Kindness, the kindness.
Right. And the other thing, you know, like if you know about percentages, right? Like the percentage that a guy like Elon Musk pays in taxes is lower than the average person. The average
Yes.
teacher, the average cab driver pays a higher percentage of their income
Yes.
in taxes than businesses, than rich people. And so we're doing the heavy lifting.
We are.
Many of us for our whole lives. I mean, I worked since I was 15. And you know, doing jobs that were physically exhausting and sort of like long-term health effects and breathing in all kinds of chemicals and hurting
Oh,
our
gosh.
backs and all this stuff. And then when it's time for us to get the
Collect on
benefit
that.
of,
Right.
yeah, then we're supposed to feel ashamed.
Right. And that's a sad thing. I never thought about it like that. Like,
It's crazy.
if I'm not working anymore and I need some food stamps because I need some to eat because to survive or not, you die. I should be able to go to the office with my head held high because I work this much and
Yes.
I paid into this system. All I'm
Yes.
doing is collecting the part that I need until I get a next job.
Yes. And I am taking and the other thing that we know as social scientists is that people at the lower income spectrum, the money that they are given in terms of cash assistance and food is immediately put back into the economy, into the neighborhood, right? When
Exactly.
you give a person in the Bronx like me $10, I'm going to the bodega.
Right.
And that is going to help create jobs at the bodega. And
Right.
that bodega is going to pay business taxes. That's going to help the Bronx, right?
Right.
I'm not going to take my money and park it in an offshore account where the
Right.
government can't tax it or,
Exactly.
you know, or something. The money is stays right here.
In the community, the
And so
country.
there's a multiplier effect. An economic multiplier effect when you give these resources that they don't even tell you about. They act like they're doing you this favor. We're not taking this food. We're taking this food money. We're going to the grocery store,
Right.
right? The local grocery store, and we're buying food with it, and then we're going to feed our kids, and that means our kids going to be healthy enough to grow up and pay taxes for the rest of their life.
Right.
It means the grocery store can pay their taxes, right? So there's a level of sort of blinders that is intentionally put on our communities that we don't make these connections and see this stuff. Because once you realize this, then you demand to be treated with respect.
It's
Because
true.
you're like, I paid into this thing. Like, I don't, you know, it, once you realize that they're not doing you a favor, you have a different attitude. Like, you walk with a
It's true.
different
A little pep.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so of course there is a vested interest in many of these people that you don't realize this, that you feel that you come with your head down and like, please, Mr. Sir, can you give me a few coins of whatever? That's crazy.
Thank you.
That's absolutely crazy.
It is. It truly is. It's interesting.
Hi guys, thank you for coming for part three of Michael's story. And I hope you're enjoying it. We're going in many different areas about his life, what he thinks about the system, and what I think about the system. I hope that you could also just not listen to what we're saying, but also draw your own conclusions to see how you can actually help with the problem that we have at hand. What can you do in your daily life to help with this particular thing? And if you're in a person who's in a position to help and make changes, do those changes from what you hear from this thing and how it can help the people at large. We're telling you from the people's perspective that things do need to change, and it needs to change for the better. And I know when change happens, other things have to fall in effect, and we got to see how everything works as a puzzle together. But we can do this all as a group to help make our community better for everybody who's living in it. So come back for part three, and I definitely will see you next time. Also, follow us on other social medias. I don't want to forget that. Follow us on our other social media accounts, and we'd love to see you next time. Come for the next and last part, part four. And after that, we'll be starting out season, I won't say four. I feel like this season we're in right now, season three, season four of Hear Our Voices after this couple of weeks. Thank you for joining us on this journey, and thank you for being wonderful people, and talk to you next time. Bye.